Thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it here on the Matt by Amani podcast. The Holy War 2018 is in the books. Oh my goodness, there's so much to unpack. I don't even know where to begin. So I'm going to begin with this, actually. A friend of mine asked me, if you don't know, I mean, you obviously know if you're listening to the podcast, but Utah has beaten BYU for an eighth straight time. They won 35-27. And a friend of mine asked me, is this the most excruciating loss during the streak? Because 7 of the 8 have been within one score. And initially I was like, no, you know, it wasn't. This was the first Holy War game during this streak that I have not attended in person. And that was mostly due to the weather. I just didn't want to sit in the cold. And I'm glad I didn't, because the cold plus the heartbreak would have been too much to handle. But I was like, no, it's not. You know, I was thinking about the last couple times I've attended games up at Rice-Eccles Stadium. I've been to the last three before this one. And so for those of you at home, that would be the year that Jake Heaps was a freshman and the field goal was blocked. I was there for that. 2 years later was Riley Nelson. And that was when the fans ran out of the field three separate times and BYU wasn't able to force an overtime game. And then I was there 2 years ago when Taysom Hill failed on the two-point conversion for the win. And I was thinking about those three games and which one hurt the most. And I was like, oh man, that Taysom one might be the most painful. Or the one where the fans aren't on the field, that was painful. And now we are about 5 days removed. I've changed my mind. I think this is the most painful loss during that streak, because BYU blew a 20-point lead on two separate occasions. And this is the largest lead that either team has come from behind for a victory. So, and now, you know, that's just another decoration, another trophy on the Utah mantle of success over BYU. And so to have been leading 27-7 with about 16 minutes to go and to lose that game, that's the most painful. And shortly, I'm going to be joined by Dave Madsen and Jordan Smith. And Dave Madsen and myself, we have argued through text messages many times over the last couple days. Dave is going to paint a rosy, optimistic picture. And some of the things he says I'm going to agree with, a lot of it I'm not. And I'm sorry, but you just cannot tell me that if you blow a 20-point lead, regardless of the injuries. And by the way, those injuries on BYU side, they played a large role, no doubt about it. The BYU injuries, I'm not going to say cost them a chance to win the game, but they certainly played an impact. But nevertheless, a 20-point lead late in the third quarter, you've got to find a way to win that game. And BYU was unable to do so. And because of that, I think that is why this is the most painful loss in the 8-year run by Utah. And if BYU doesn't win it next year, I have a feeling this streak is going to continue into the double digits. I hate to admit that. I'm not a Utah fan. I'm a BYU football fan. But it certainly seems like this streak is in major jeopardy of going on for a long, long time. You know, I think about the rationale of moral victories. You know, in my own life, you know, there's a certain vehicle I want to buy. And at the end of the day, I haven't bought it yet. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because it's, you know, it's more money than I want to spend. And we all know that cars, they are a depreciating asset. And it doesn't matter how you spin it, you're going to lose money in a vehicle. It doesn't matter how cool the car is, how fast it goes, it's a depreciating asset. And, you know, that's how I feel about this BYU loss. It doesn't matter how great BYU played, what kind of individual performances there were. At the end of the day, it's a loss. We walked out, you know, to use the car metaphor, we drove that car off the lot and immediately we have less money. We cannot sell it for what we paid for. There's no way you can spin it to me that I walked out with a good deal. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to get my money's worth. And that's how I feel about this loss. So certainly there were good performances, and I'll get into that with Dave and Jordan. We'll talk about the good, the bad. I'm sure we'll argue a bunch. We'll do a season recap. We'll talk about some good performances. You know, I thought that Zach Wilson was really good. This was, in my opinion, the best performance Zach Wilson had all year. But it wasn't enough. And you have to wonder, when is the streak going to end? And I'm wondering aloud here on the podcast, I don't know that it's going to be next year. I hope that it is. I'm not sure. So without further ado, let's bring on Jordan Smith and Dave Madsen and talk BYU, Utah, and the 2018 BYU football season.
Sorry about the difficulties there, Jordan.
Not a problem. You started cutting out as soon as you talked about the linebacking situation.
I was going to say, I'm not convinced that our trench play is as improved as I was hoping it would be. I mean, it's hard to take this game and project to the future because there were injuries, but the difference in the line play for the majority of that game was pretty substantial, and I'm concerned about that.
For me, it comes down to is and maybe you can answer this, is Tonga going to be coming back, or is he looking towards the
Tonga? I'm pretty sure Tonga will be back. And
he played out of his mind.
He was fantastic. He was spectacular all season long, and so was Corbin. And there was nobody else. There's just no depth. And, you know, there's a couple guys on the defensive line that sat out the season for various reasons. We better hope and pray that not only do they all play, but that they're as good as they're said to be. One of those guys is Wayne Kirby, the transfer from Oregon. We've yet to see him. And then I don't know if you remember Tavita Maunga, but he had some flashes a couple years ago. But man, outside of Tonga and Kafusi, it is tough on the defensive line. And oh man, it just felt like, and maybe we're exaggerating the fourth quarter, but it felt like Utah's ability in the trench was so substantial compared to BYU on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they definitely improved that quarter. It's, you said it, it's hard to say, man, because Corbin, he played, but something happened in the third quarter to him too. We just didn't see the same level of play. I'm sure he was in a lot more pain.
Right.
I don't know if he, and dang it, it makes me so mad. Like,
me too.
Literally at every level, one of the key players goes down in the, like, late third quarter, or maybe he still plays but is limited. It's like, oh,
Shelton, Kafusi. And Kafusi.
Kafusi.
Yeah, you're right.
How does Dave have a happy outlook on this? I mean, I'm the most optimistic as they come. Like, I feel great about next year. But gosh, dang it. I hate Utah.
I don't know. There was no part of that game. Or let me rephrase that. There were certainly parts that were awesome and entertaining. But when you think about the game as a whole, there is no way I can use any positive words with that game. To surrender the biggest lead in the history of the rivalry, I don't know how you can feel good about that. And it's especially painful when I don't know if we've talked about Corbin enough, but his performance was inspiring. And then for him,
yeah, he should go down. He should go down in BYU like his. Like, we should remember that performance and, you know, talk. You know, like, we talk about taste. Like, we talk about great players at BYU. He needs to be one that going forward we bring up over and over again. So that, we can't say enough about that performance and his willingness to put his body out there for the team.
It was inspiring, and to hear him talk about it after the game, it made me sick that we didn't win the game because we had players like Corbin putting it out on the line. And then there were just obviously injuries played a big part, but there were some other guys that weren't up to par and we shouldn't have played them. Like one guy that comes to mind, Matthew Criddle, dude is just not ready to play. He was the replacement for Jackson Kafusi and he got used and abused by Utah and credit Utah. That's something that I'd like to see BYU do a little bit more of in the future is targeting specific matchups and just going at it relentlessly. And Utah did that to Criddle in the second half. But you would hope in a situation like that, I know that depth is thin, but there's got to be someone else. Or do we go? Can we go to a different package where maybe we play Moore's second? I don't know. I wasn't there. But one thing that I would say was pretty clear in this game, and so this is a positive and negative I have for the coaching staff in review for 2018. You know, I think most of them are coming back, so there's no real need to discuss the what ifs. But I think the greatest strength of our coaching staff right now, Jordan, is we have a pretty good ability to game plan and prepare for opponents on both sides of the ball. You know, defensively, we were a little vanilla. And I want you to talk about the defensive side of things from your inside source in just a moment. But I think defensively and offensively, we show an ability to game plan well. You know, we don't necessarily always start well, but the plan is solid. And then for whatever reason, this coaching staff is below average at in-game adjustments. It's not good. And it's got to get better if we're going to get back to being BYU football that we want to be.
Yeah, I would agree 100% with that. As you said, I have a source I will not name, but he or she kind of threw the defensive coaching, the defensive coordinator in the bus a little bit and just pointed out some of the flaws that he has and just the lack of variety in defensive play calling and scheme. It's vanilla because there's not a lot to call. There weren't for most of the season very many exotic
packages.
Yep. So
and that's the problem. You know, my rant on the defense in the third quarter is okay, you put out a package and you know, Criddle or whoever, you know, Criddle wasn't the only guy on the defense that was missing tackles and getting picked on. But if that's happening, you got to have enough in the book to go to something else. And it sounds like from your source that the defensive playbook was thin. And so in that situation, you have no choice but to ride someone that is not ready to play. And that's evidence of what we saw in the Utah game.
Right. I could be wrong, and you or a listener can correct me, but I think all of their touchdowns came against Criddle or Ellis, the new guys that came
yep,
in.
The touchdown pass to Nacua was on Criddle. Yep. It's hard to – I mean, it is Ellis' fault because
– I don't want to relive this, honestly. I don't want
to – You're right. You're right, though. It was they used and abused those guys, and credit to them for doing it, you know?
And I will give a shout out to Criddle on, what is it, 960 ESPN. Yep. I don't know if you saw, but he roasted his brother. Yep. He did yep. not hold back. But he's like, you know what, I love him, and I'm going to help him.
And that's something I love about Criddle's show is that he's one of the few who it can be complimentary and also critical of the program.
Right. It's just a tough loss. But credit Utah, they made the plays. Like you said, they found – we were exposed in our depth. I mean, most teams other than maybe outside, I mean, maybe the top 5 or 10 can get to their third and fourth strings and still play well. But BYU, we definitely
no.
can't. We get to your four strings in any position. There's going to be weaknesses
and that's
there.
Where
in
you,
Utah,
and that's where you need the creativity of the coaching staff to kind of offset the lack of depth. And hopefully that gets addressed. I don't know if we touched on the positive things enough. So let's wrap up with this because I know we talked about Zach and you mentioned Bushman and then I cut you off with the three tight end problem. Bushman was good in this game. I'm worried that we're not going to use him next year like we did in this game. So I hope we do. I think we've seen enough from him that he deserves that kind of featuring in an offense. And so let's just cross our fingers that that happens. You know, I was impressed with Jackson Kaufusi. Looked like our best linebacker when he played. He was phenomenal. He completely overshadowed Taki Taki in that game at the linebacker position. And if he can replicate that performance, we might have another Fred Warner on our hands.
Yeah, he played great. He showed he can cover people in space. I mean, they lined him up against the slot. I think it's a running back. His name's like Green. He's really fast. He's caught a bunch of deep balls against everybody else. And he pretty much ran stride for stride and knocked the ball out. And then he also was able to get in the backfield and cause havoc. So he showed he's got the whole package. Yeah, I agree. He played fantastic.
Anyone stick out to you?
I mean, Taki Taki had moments. It's hard. I'm so depressed now. I really thought our offensive line played their guts out. I know that the fourth quarter was rough, but I mean, we talk about Hadley getting 4 yards a carry. A lot of that's the offensive line. And Utah does not give up rushing yards like they did for the first three quarters. I think they played – I was really proud of the way they played, even though they struggled down the end. Being as young as they are, I'm going to look at the positive side of that and say that they're going to get bigger, stronger. They'll improve this offseason, and I look forward to seeing them play next year.
The offensive line, yeah. All right. For real, the final word, the 2018 season recap. For me, I'll go first. Slight improvement. You can't deny that it wasn't a better season last year. There were some real highs with the Wisconsin win, with the Arizona win. There were some real lows as well. But 6-6. You know, cross our fingers, we get invited to a bowl game and we win that game. And I think that's big for the program to get those extra practices for the young guys. So I think enough was done by Kalani and company to earn another year. But another year like this isn't going to be enough to keep me and a lot of the fan base happy. And so it's just so hard with some of the losses we had, Jordan, to be truly hopeful for the future, but there certainly is reason for optimism. You mentioned the young offensive line. You mentioned Zach. I agree. It's not all doom and gloom, but I wouldn't say that I'm 100% certain that we're going to be better and better for years to come. So hopefully this loss is as painful to the players, and I'm sure it is, as it is to us, and it motivates them and next year. First glance, it doesn't seem as difficult as this year. So there's potential, but there's got to be some significant improvements program-wide if we want to get back to where BYU wants to be.
I would agree with pretty much.
Are you there, Jordan?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I agree with your analysis of the season. I'm a little bit more optimistic. Not 2017 was so bad. I think it's worse than any of us even know. And so to kind of climb out of that, to make some changes, to get the program turned and at least going in the right direction, I feel really good. I loved, you know, winning that game on the road in Arizona and Wisconsin. And those are big games. The Northern Illinois loss, that one stings for me. That kind of, if we win that game, I'm way more optimistic right now because of how we played against Boise and Utah.
Right.
That Northern Illinois kind of sticks to me a little bit. That one, I have a hard time stomaching that one. But I feel like we are heading in the right direction, but there's still we need to prove more. We need to win more games at home.
Yep.
And we need to beat some of our rivals. I'm not saying we go 3-0 against them, but we got to win, you know, one or two games against those three teams. So I'm optimistic. I feel good going forward, but I still want to see more. That's where I'm at. Yep.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there, but you finished off with your optimistic, and You know, here's a crazy thought. Just, I know I keep saying I'm going to wrap it up, but I know that you're not going to be excited about this, but I'm interested by the idea. And that is, there's a certain coach who you don't like that I kind of do, who is unemployed and apparently living in Provo. I wouldn't mind adding him in some capacity to the staff, maybe not as a coordinator, but Daryl Bevel, quarterbacks coach. I don't know. You saw Utah hire Gary Anderson in a small role, and I think it had an impact. You know, I know that you don't want him as the coach, but maybe there's a spot on the staff for someone with that NFL experience that can maybe help develop some of the guys. He did develop Russell Wilson, Jordan.
I'm fine with him being some kind of whatever. Yeah, whatever position you want to throw him in there to help out. Well, I really want – I don't know if I texted you and Dave, but, man, if Gary Anderson somehow doesn't have a legit job, I offer him anything he wants to come be our defensive coordinator.
100%.
That would get me super excited. I mean, that's a pipe dream. I understand that. But
you know what,
he's
though?
He's not going to be the D coordinator of Utah, so, what's he going to do?
Right. There's a – it's comparing apples to oranges here, but – you know, I'm a big Lakers fan. It's no surprise. And Jerry Buss kind of used to have this attitude where it's like, why not go after, you know, Shaq and people? The imagination for Jerry Buss and the Lakers was endless. And I know that they have more money and they have more of a reputation, but sometimes I wish BYU football had that mentality where it's like, why not offer Gary Anderson the job? What's the worst that can happen? He says no. Why not,
right?
You know, go after some of these big name guys? You know, in the past, they're like, well, who's going to come coach BYU? Oh, well, Andy Reid's not going to do it. You know, Mike Leach isn't going to do it. All these guys are going to do it. Well, yeah, they're not going to do it if we don't ask. You never know. I'm hoping going forward we're a little more creative and willing to ask some of these people that, in your words, are pipe dreams, but you never know.
Yeah, if we don't at least give Gary Anderson a call and see what his options are, to see if he's having, and that would be disappointing. So,
absolutely, totally. Well, 6-6. Maybe we'll talk after the bowl game, but excruciating, painful loss that I'll never get over, and I think that you probably won't as well. So, and we'll. And too bad
we could be like Dave.
Hope springs eternal, in his words, but yet it just never seems to resonate for me. So,
listeners, honestly, the text message we were getting made it sound like BYU went like 10-2. Like, it's like he acts like we won the game somehow.
He acts like we beat Utah. Like it's no big deal. No big deal today in a row, and we just blew a 20-point lead in the third quarter. It is no big deal. It's incredible.
It was awesome. Yeah, not only was it not a big deal, it was awesome. Not awesome. Screw Utah.
Exactly. And for the record, listeners, Dave was he mind. There was a scheduling conflict, so maybe on a future pod the defend is painful. I'm miserable. I'm disgusted. And you know, if there's any hope, it does seem like Zach Wilson has the ability and the leadership to maybe break the streak.
And a little tease for the listeners.
Maybe that's the silver lining.
I think the pod needs to be a Matt v. Dave on BYU basketball, and specifically Dave Rose with Jordan Smith as a referee. A little tease there. We might have a little debate. First take
yes.
or whatever, you know, a little debate show with some points or, you know, something like that, because it sounds like we got some.
Was this inspired by the overtime loss against Illinois State, Jordan? Yes, this is very, what's the word I want to use here? This has become a normal thing during the West Coast Conference era of Dave Rose.
Well, listeners, look forward to that. A little BYU basketball. We'll get a little heated, you know. Some listeners might miss the heat. We've been a little nice, a little gloom with these losses, but we might be bringing the heat.
All come prepared. Jordan, thanks for making time, man. This was therapeutic in some way, but ultimately it's not enough to erase the pain. But nevertheless, thank you for joining.